Much of the news coverage of American politics these days centers on the horse race results of polls. Who's ahead? Who's behind? Is this candidate or that issue trending up or down in popularity? But what does that sort of coverage really tell us? Joining us on Current State today is an expert on modern-day political polling. Research psychologist Paul Lavrakis is a consultant for private sector and not-for-profit organizations. He's worked with Google, ABC, the Nielsen Company, the Associated Press, and the Voter News Service. He's written extensively on telephone polling methods, and he's now working on the fifth edition of The Voter's Guide to Election Polls, which will come out in 2015. Paul is an MSU graduate as well. Welcome back to East Lansing, Paul Lavrakis, and welcome to Current State.
Thank you very much.
How important are political polls?
Well, they're very important in many ways. I mean, the public is extremely interested, even if at times they deny that they are. There's a lot of research that shows how greatly interested the public is. Obviously, people that are running for elected office and their staff rely on polls to help them understand where they stand, something that many people don't realize, to help them raise funds. One of the most compelling things to campaign donors is if they think that there are poll results that are showing that their candidate either is leading or has a chance. And so especially at the time of primaries, these pre-primary polls are extremely important to demonstrate candidate viability. The news media obviously have great reliance on polls to help them cover this game that the horse race becomes.
It seems like they can really clutter the landscape, though, at times. They're everywhere, and it's common that you can find a poll that will counter another poll. And this raises confusion and doubts. What are the first questions you ask yourself when you open up the newspaper and you see a new poll in the news?
Well, first of all, I want to make a point that most news organizations have good, stringent expectations and requirements, criteria before they will disseminate the results of a news poll. For example, the Associated Press, and I want to disclose, I am a consultant with them. They have very stringent criteria where, for example, an internet-based poll that doesn't have a reliable sample. The AP is not allowed to publicize anything about that. The New York Times, CBS News, The Wall Street Journal, all the top media in the United States have very good criteria that they use before.
And what is a reliable sample?
Well, first of all, without getting too technical, it needs to be picked in a way that is random and representative of the group that you're trying to cover. We call that a probability sample. And that is a sample that tries to assure that the populace that you're trying to cover gets a fair and representative chance of being sampled for a given survey. Stopping people on the street, going out to a mall, asking people to respond to a pop-up ad on an internet site that they're going to, those are not reliable ways of representing a larger population.
Does that then place the emphasis on telephone polling? Is that more reliable in terms of getting a random representative sample?
If you look over the last two decades in particular, going back to the late 1980s, three decades, let's say, because of the cost differential between in-person interviewing and telephone interviewing, the telephone poll has become the mainstay of pre-election polling. And the challenge over the last decade was what to do about the growing cell phone-only population. And so people like myself, through the major professional organization that I'm a member of and the recent president of the American Association for Public Opinion Research, we have led the effort to try to understand how to integrate mobile phones, cell phones, and those numbers into what now is typically called landline samples. And so telephone polls are still the predominant method. And they use a technique where these numbers are created randomly. They can reach anyone within the population you are. With internet, there's a problem. Most internet surveys are put together in a way that the sample that's drawn, the people that do it have no way of really knowing how representative it is of the group that they're trying to ostensibly represent. Mm-hmm. They have to do all kinds of statistical manipulations to try to make them more representative. There are a couple of internet organizations, polling organizations, that do it differently. And in fact, by coincidence, the Associated Press just announced, I think it was yesterday, that they're now partnering, they're stopping their telephone poll organization. They're not going to be doing polling. They're partnering with an organization that's called GFK that has a scientifically drawn internet sample of people, a panel around the nation, tens of thousands of people who have agreed to participate, but they've been scientifically selected. And in fact, the people that don't have access to the internet are given access to the internet if they're if they're sampled. And so we're starting to see this movement and recognition that if you want to have the high quality surveying, and if you're going to use the internet, as the Associated Press has decided to do, you know, the world's largest news organization, you need to go to an organization that has built a probability based sample.
Is that the way of the future? Do you anticipate more of that?
It's certainly, yes, very much more. Whether it will eliminate telephone polling for this kind of purposes, it's not clear. Eventually, it may well, as we find more and more people using the internet. You know, we still have a bare majority of the people who routinely use the internet, despite what a lot of studies seem to show. The problem is that those studies are based on internet surveys. And so they're biased right from the start. When you're measuring something about the mode that you're already gathering data, you're not going to get a representative sample. If you do an in-person survey, you get people who have the internet, who don't have the internet, who have it but don't use it. And so you see typical reports showing that 70 to 80% of the people have access to the internet, but that doesn't mean that 70 to 80% of the public uses the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, my father is 98 years old, lives in Birmingham. He has access to the internet. He essentially never uses it, and so a lot of people. So the internet is going to be the wave of the future. Mobile phones and accessing people in real, you know, immediately and so forth
with electronic devices.
Right, with smartphones and so forth.
We're talking with polling researcher Paul Lavrakis, who is in East Lansing here today. Can you still say then that the telephone polling method is still something of a threshold here because it tends to guarantee a randomness and a wider representation?
I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying that telephone polls don't have problems. They have serious problems that people are constantly trying to work on, understand, and try to correct.
What's the biggest one?
The biggest problem affects all surveys, and it's called non-response, that the majority of people who are sampled to participate and contacted refuse to participate. And it's not a random subset of the group that we started out with. It's disproportionately younger people. It's disproportionately people with less education. It's disproportionately minority people. All those factors correlate with political preferences. And so that if you don't do things to either correct it in your methods or correct it with your statistics, your final results in political polls are going to be biased.
Yeah. Non-participation.
Non-participation is what we're talking about. People are so oversaturated with calls, for example, or requests, pop-up ads, and so forth, from a marketing standpoint, that they hear that someone's calling them to do a poll, and if they know it's from a university, usually that's a very positive thing. They usually listen past the initial, few words, but too often they just hang up.
How do you interpret the results of the last presidential race and the polling surrounding that? Right. The Republicans were led to believe they had, a much better chance of winning the election,
right,
than the final results suggested.
That was I was on the election night decision team for the Associated Press. I was in Washington working with a small group, six, seven people, who were responsible to the editors of the Associated Press for calling the election using exit poll data and pre-election poll data. And so I've been doing this since 1996, every major election, every other year. And that election was much closer than it appeared to us and to everyone, much closer than it turned out to be. You know, we had the Obama-Romney election. We didn't really know with confidence until about 11 o'clock that night, which is pretty late into the evening, that Obama was going to win. And so although it, the way that was portrayed, it looked as though it was a much stronger victory, the knowledge that it was going to be that strong a victory wasn't there for us. There was great challenges back then. When you have a close, and that was a close election, when you have a close election, small methods differences can make 1 or 2 points different. Hmm. And that can explain why the Gallup organization, a very well-reputed organization, ended up predicting incorrectly who was going to win that election. You know, predicting it, missing it by about 1 percentage point, 2 percentage points. So there are a lot of things that can go wrong. And we had a special problem back then. Remember, Hurricane Sandy hit that weekend before the actual election. The people from Washington, D.C. up to Boston were many of the people who were probably, you know, leaning towards Obama, let's say proportionally. They were out of touch, either in the internet or the telephone, because of the effects of Sandy. And so that was just an extra challenge.
Very interesting. Yeah. We've got less than a minute, but I have to ask you about party-originated polls. Yeah. The Democratic Polling Organization, the right. GOP Polling Organization. Right. What can our listeners learn? What should our listeners be aware of when they see a poll result coming from a polling organization affiliated with one of the major parties?
I think that the quick thing I can say is that no reputable news media reports those polls unless it's a story about political party polling. They don't report them as accurate news. They know not to, because when you're partisan, you're likely to ask questions that are going to be slanted in a way, just simple wording changes or even purposeful changes that are going to bias results. This is just, it's not the kind of thing that news. None of the data aggregators use these kind of polls, you know.
MSU graduate Paul Lavrakis has been our guest. The political polling expert is at work on the latest edition of his book, The Voter's Guide to Election Polls, which comes out in 2015. And Paul will talk at greater length this morning, 10:30 in the Huron Room on the third floor of the MSU Union. It's sponsored by the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research at Michigan State University. Thanks, Paul. Good luck.
Thank you very much.